Now, in an hour's time, we have our continuous blues rock extravaganza, but in the meantime, we're going to replay Sunday's Pete Feenstra feature when he caught up with Walter Trout, a favourite of the Rock and Blues Show on a Tuesday, and an artist who I know Pete has supported through many years. A great rapport with Walter, and he's on the road again in the UK. We welcome him back on the 1st. He's at Playhouse in Whitley Bay, that's in Yorkshire. On the 3rd of May, Walter Trout plays the O2 ABC in Glasgow. On the 4th, City Hall, Sheffield. The 5th, Lincoln, the Engine Shed. He's in the northwest of the UK on the 6th of May in Warrington at Parr Hall, great venue. 9th of May, the Waterfront, Norwich. And on the 10th, he plays Leamington Spa, another great venue there, the Assembly Rooms. And he's in Germany from the 12th to the 14th of May. More information at the Walter Trout website. Right now, though, it's the Pete Feenstra feature. And an hour of great music and chat featuring Walter Trout.
Pete Feenstra, rock in your world on Get Ready to Rock Radio.
Okay, that was Walter Trout and Cold Cold Ground from his Battled Scars album on Pro Vogue Records. And this is the Pete Feenstra feature, speaking to Blues Music Award winner Mr. Walter Trout, ahead of his 2017 Alive Spring Tour. Welcome to the show, Walter.
Great to be here, Pete.
Really great. I guess the title of your tour says it all, really, the Alive Tour.
Yeah, you know, I kind of was wishing we could have called it Still Alive,
you know. Would have been fairly close. The Battle Scars album, anyway, won the 2016 Blues Foundation Rock Blues Album of the Year Award. That's a hell of an achievement for a guy that's had a 25-year solo career, I guess.
Yeah, actually, we're up to 28 years now.
Wow. And counting. That's really great. But you seem reinvigorated in so many ways. You've cut a couple of albums since you come back at the Albert Hall in London. You've played on a blues cruise. You recorded and toured with a supersonic blues machine. I mean, that's a work schedule that would test a musician half your age, isn't it?
You know something? I'm working really hard, and I am loving every minute of it.
Wow. Excellent. It's great to hear, man. Really great to hear. What can we, in terms of the forthcoming tour, what can we expect in terms of the songs that you're going to play? Are you going to feature anything from this forthcoming all-star album you got coming out?
I actually can't do that because there are a little thing called YouTube.
YouTube, I got it. Okay.
Yeah, that has, in some ways, changed a lot of what guys like me can do. If I go out and start playing these songs before the record is released,
yeah,
they'll be all over YouTube. And so, no, I can't do it, you know.
I got it.
I will be doing songs off Battle Scars, which I feel like I still have to do that. I don't do, you know, I do maybe three or four songs off that album because I want to tell that story, you know, what that album is about and what happened to me. And I also, every night I make a pitch,
yeah,
to get people to sign up to become organ donors.
So I believe,
but
yeah.
We'll be doing some older stuff. We'll be doing some jams. We'll be doing some old blues songs. It'll be a Walter Trout show, and I gotta say, my band is getting tighter and tighter and better and better, and
I don't doubt it.
We just did a short tour of the Northwest, and we were just ripping it up, man.
Do you have a title yet for that forthcoming album?
I do. You're going to edit this, right?
If you want.
I don't know how much I'm allowed to say here because I put something on Facebook about it 2 weeks ago. That was my alarm to take my liver drug, which I have already taken.
Okay.
I put something on Facebook about it, and I was told in no uncertain terms that I had to wait till the press release. So that's why I'm... We almost need to do this again before when it gets closer to the record coming out, I think.
Right, okay. Classic Rock has described your music as being, and I quote, as intimate as it gets. I guess it's doubtful that any blues musician, or contemporary blues musician anyway, has given so much of themselves on record as you have done since your comeback. Did that feel like a natural thing you had to do at the time when you started playing again? Delving back into what happened to you?
You know, it, for me, it was very therapeutic.
Yeah.
And it was really, I have to give credit here to my wife, Marie, who said to me one day, you need to write about what happened and you need to get it out. She said, you either need to write about it or you need to go get therapy, because I was really suffering like PTSD, you know.
Right.
I had a lot of emotional scars, as she did. And writing those songs, I really did it. It was almost like sitting on a couch and talking to a psychiatrist. I wrote it to get it out, and I know they're really, they're dark and they're graphic.
Yeah.
But
that's what
it was, something I felt like I had to do. And also, something that I always look for in music is honesty.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be any more honest when I wrote those songs, you know.
That's true. Do you feel that now, after all that's happened to you and the songs that you've written relating to that, that you can relate to people on a deeper level with your songs now?
I think in some ways, yeah. I have to tell you that, you know, when I went through that illness, the music was taken from me. When I got out of the hospital, I couldn't play anymore. I had to relearn. I had to start from scratch.
Yeah. And
so I know what it was like to have that taken away.
Yeah.
And it actually now, it has a whole new meaning and a whole new value to me than it ever did.
Okay, thinking about your songwriting, and obviously in the last 2 years, talking just about what we were doing just there, you've written some of the most sort of soul-searching songs imaginable. After you've done that, and after you've had a couple of albums of this, does that kind of leave a bit of a creative void after you've given so much in terms of the songs?
Let me tell you this, I could... when it was time to make another record a couple of months ago,
yeah,
I kind of looked in the mirror and I went, I can't go through this heavy thing like I went through with Battle Scars.
Yeah.
And I feel like doing something now that's going to just be kind of fun. And that's when I got the idea of doing a new album and having great players come in and let's jam.
Yeah.
And, I've written the... I can tell you certain things about the new album.
Okay.
Each of the guests that I have, I had to write a song for that person. I had to kind of think about their style and what they do, and I had to write a song for that person. But I didn't, it wasn't like therapy, and I wasn't sitting there crying, writing lyrics like Battle Scars.
Yeah.
You kind of was written with tears coming down my face, you know.
You kind of preempted my question there, so I guess it's written songs written for the specific guest on the album rather than the jam.
Yes, that's right, and there are also songs that have to be able to have a jam in them.
To stretch them out.
Where I can have these guitar players and we can have a guitar conversation. And I can tell you some of the guests I've got. Kenny Wayne Shepherd and Joe Bonamassa and Sonny Landreth and Warren Haynes and Edgar Winter.
Wow.
And Mike Zito and Charlie Musselwhite.
Wow.
And I can't even...
Deacon Jones.
Deacon Jones is on a lot of it. Yeah, you got to have Deacon.
Yeah. Well, that goes back to your early career, of course, with John Lee Hooker and all those amazing people you played with as a sideman before people knew who the hell you were as a guitar player in your own right. Goes back
That's
a long
right.
way. Yeah. Walter, we need to play a bit more music now, but before I do so, do you feel like you're an ambassador for, for general positivity and encouraging people to make the most of their lives?
I try to be. I always wanted to try to put across kind of a positive message, and even though I'm doing blues-based music, I don't want it to be bitter. Yeah. I don't want it to be frustrated. I don't want to be any of those things. I want people to come out of a gig of mine or listen to a record of mine, and at the end they feel good, you know?
Great. Let's play a track. This is from the current Alive in Amsterdam, album, and this is your version of Help Me.
Now, more music. More music. More music. Get ready to rock. Radio.
The Blues.
baby, I can't do it all by myself. You won't help me, got to find me somebody else. Somebody.
Help Me from Walter Trout from his current album Alive in Amsterdam, CD on Pro Vogue Records. I should congratulate you on the fact that that album has been put forward for an award, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's nominated for Blues Rock Album of the Year at the Blues Music Awards in Memphis again, which I won't be able to attend them this year because I'll be over playing for you guys.
But you were at the last one, right?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, that was the Memphis one.
The night of the Blues Awards last year, where I won two of them,
yeah.
I was playing a gig in Minneapolis,
okay.
And there was a lady on the dance floor with her phone, and she yelled up, "You just won an award!"
All right. Oh.
And 20 minutes later, "You just won another one!"
Wow. What a moment. Really great stuff. Just going back to Help Me for the moment, that song has opened your gigs for years and years. How did you originally come to play that?
Well, I used to play that with John Mayall.
Right.
And I just love the groove of it.
And it's a great... Yeah.
And it's funny, back when I had a keyboard player named Mongo, my very first keyboard player in my solo band, we used to do the Booker T song, Green Onions.
Wow.
And Help Me is just, you play Green Onions and you sing you sing lyrics over it. It's the same thing. And so it started off with Mongo doing Green Onions, and one night I just started singing.
Wow. The Blues Magazine called you, and I quote, a road warrior reborn. And you've also been called by John Mayall a road dog. So presumably, touring and meeting your fans is like a second home on the road for you.
Well, it is. I'm very lucky in that I'm somebody that loves to go on tour and to be on the road. And there are some musicians who hate it.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for them because it is what we have to do to make a living, and you might as well enjoy it. And the first real road trip that I ever took was where you hop in a van and you leave for 2 months. The first one I ever took was with Cad Heat. And I remember thinking to myself, I want to do this for the rest of my life.
Wow, and that's exactly what you're doing, which is fantastic. I just want to briefly go back to your Full Circle album, and one of the aspects of that original Full Circle album was that the guests that you had on there really represented musical highlights of your own career, but they also emphasised your own musical versatility. Will the new album, apart from writing songs specifically for those guys you're playing with and women you're playing with, will there be a lot of variety there, or will it all be rock blues?
No, I think there's a lot of variety there.
Right.
The song that I do with Mike Zito,
right,
sounds like it's right off of Brothers and Sisters by the Allman Brothers.
I can't wait to hear that.
And he and I sing harmony together on it. The song that I do with Edgar Winter is bordering on sort of an R&B type mid-tempo ballad with him playing a saxophone and he and I singing harmony on the chorus.
Wow.
And it's real different. There is a lot of rock blues.
Oh, great. Great.
There is a whole lot of it, but there is some versatility.
Got it. Let's go back to that album for an acoustic track, and this is featuring you and Eric Sardinas on a track called Firehouse Mama.
You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
1, 2, 3, 4.
And I sure do believe it's true, honey, 'cause there ain't nothing but smoke all around with the hot loving way she do. Yeah, they say where there's smoke, there's fire. Ooh, and I sure do believe it's true. Yes, I do. 'Cause there ain't nothing but smoke all around, baby, with the hot loving way she do. Loving's hot and sweet. You better leave the kitchen, boy, now. But if you can't stand the heat, one day she told me, child, man, that a loving's hot and sweet. She said, you better leave the kitchen now, boy, if you can't stand the heat.
Yeah, well,
go there.
smoking from her head down to her toe.
That was Walter Trout and special guest Eric Sardinas from the Full Circle album on Provo Records, and a track called Firehouse Mama. We were talking about special guests back there, and since we last spoke, you've toured and recorded with the Supersonic Blues Machine. How far's their second album gone so far?
Well, I've done my track on there,
right,
and their second album is done. It's in the can. I'm not sure when it's going to come out. But I did my track on there about 3 weeks ago, and it sounded, it came out awesome. It's exciting working with those guys, and they're all really dear friends too. So it's really kind of a privilege and an honor for me to be a part of that band.
Okay, and for people that don't know about this yet, I mean, you've either toured or recorded with, in the context of that band, Robin Ford, Warren Haynes, Steve Lukather, Billy Gibbons, etc., etc. Sonny Landreth, you already mentioned him. Does working on a project like that and with people like that, real high-caliber players like that, does that reflect your own playing style at all, do you think? You must bounce off one another when you play live.
Oh, well, we do. We bounce off one another, and when we play live, one of the fun things, and you can see this on YouTube,
yeah,
for the encore, we do Going Down,
yeah,
and there's six guitar players out there,
yeah,
and we go down the line, and everybody takes a solo, and Billy Gibbons is the leader, and he stands, and when Billy Gibbons points at you, you play.
Yeah.
And it's really great to hear the different styles, one after the other,
right,
playing on the same song, and you hear the different approaches of each guitar player.
Exactly my question, and a kind of related question. I want to come back to this album in a moment, but thinking about your own songwriting and the fact that on that album, Common Ground, for example, a few years ago, you used a bunch of top tour guys again, but it wasn't your normal tour band, which is what you normally record with. Did that bring any difference to what you actually recorded at the end in terms of approach or anything else?
Well,
it was a song driven out
a little differently. I think it was a little different sounding than my band would have done, but
yeah,
I've got to tell you, on my new album with all these special guests, I have my band on every cut,
right,
and they're just awesome.
Yeah.
You know, right now you're not. I don't think you're going to find a better in this genre. I don't think you're going to find a better rhythm section than I've got right now.
Great.
And you'll hear them on there.
Great. Finishing off with the Supersonic Blues Machine, how did you originally hook up with the band's leader, Fabrizio Grossi? Where did you come across him?
Well, I've known Fabrizio for a while, and about 6-7 years ago, he and I had talked about working together, and him producing an album for me. And the timing was never right.
Right.
And I mean, the guy's work is incredible. If you've heard, for instance, the new Eric Gales album,
yeah,
Fabrizio produced that, and it just has an amazing sound to it. And but we've talked about working together, and it's never worked out. And I have to say, my producer is Eric Korn, and this album that I've just finished with him, that's number 11. So he and I are quite the team, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It was great when Fabrizio called me up and he said, I'm doing this project, and do you want to come in and play with, you know, Billy Gibbons and Robin Ford and, you know, all these guys? And I was like, yeah, tell me when and where. And the interesting thing here, Pete, was that The first supersonic blues machine was my first time in a studio after my transplant.
Ah, I didn't realize that. Yeah.
So I you know, that meant a lot to me because I had been sitting around. I had to relearn how to play the guitar. And I sat around for a year and made my debut there at Royal Albert Hall. But it was right around that same time that I went up and played on the Blues Machine album.
Great stuff. I've got to go to the rest of this very quickly, Walter. Let's play another track. This is I'm Back. Look out!
This is a song with a so much. Yep, I'm back.
That was Walter Trout and I'm Back, their Luther Allison song on his current, on Walter's current Alive in Amsterdam album on Pro Vogue Records. I've got to say, Walter, that when you sing the opening line of that song on that album, the whole of the place seems to explode. That must have been a very emotional moment for you.
It really was, and I have to say, when I recorded that song originally on my Luther Allison tribute,
yeah,
I had no idea that 6 years later that song was going to have new meaning for me.
really. How did, on that very subject, how did the idea of a tribute to Luther Allison come about? Because that was a really successful thing and a great tribute to a great musician.
That came about because I felt like the blues world, at least over here, was kind of forgetting about him.
Right.
I'd listen to blues radio programs, and I'd listen to satellite radio over here, and I hardly ever heard him. And I kept waiting for somebody to do something for the guy.
Yeah.
And when it didn't happen, I felt like I had to do it because he was a dear friend. He had been a mentor to me. He had talked when I was still coming up through the ranks. He was out talking to people and mentioning my name.
Great.
And he was a great supporter of my efforts to be a musician. And I felt like it was almost a responsibility of mine to say to the world, don't forget this guy. Look at this. Realize what you had here, and let's pay tribute to this incredible contribution he made.
Well, you cut a great homage to him, but let's just briefly talk about your other mentor, Mr. John Mayall. He's one of the guests, I believe, on the forthcoming album as well, which is great to hear. For people that don't know, and some people who are listening probably don't, how did you first meet John Mayall, and how did you become a blues breaker?
Well, I was in Canned Heat.
Right.
And
5 years.
Canned Heat was booked to do 3 shows with John Mayall when he had the original Blues Breakers back together. He had John McVie, he had Mick Taylor, and he had Colin Allen.
Oh, yeah. We did
3 shows with him. Up in Northern California, and he and I just hit it off immediately. We started hanging out backstage, and we started talking, and by the end of the 3 nights, we were like really good friends. And on the 3rd night, he said to me, I have some more shows with this band, and I would like to hear you play rhythm guitar for Mick Taylor. Would you come out and do the shows?
Wow.
And it just so happened that Canned Heat had a couple of weeks off. So I said, it'd be an honor for me. So I went out and did a bunch of shows around the West with the original Blues Breakers, and I played rhythm guitar for Mick. And I had a great time, and we all got along great, but then I went back with Canned Heat.
Yeah.
And about a year later, John called up and said, I'm starting another Blues Breakers, and you're the first guy I'm calling. And then I became a Blues Breaker. When you're a guitar player, and John Mayall calls you up and offers you a gig, you just say yes.
Got it. Looking back, do you think it's kind of ironic that when you and Coco Montoya became known for those guitar wars, as I call them, that you used to have with Blues Breakers, that it was actually at a time when guitar bands were having a real hard time because everything was keyboards, wasn't it?
It was. It was. And, you know, when I listen back to those records we made, or I go on YouTube and I watch the videos, I maybe I'm prejudiced, but I think that was one of the best Blues Breakers versions of the Blues Breakers that John has ever had. I thought he got very fiery performances out of Coco and I.
And it's great to see that you've jammed a couple of times in the last few years with Coco again, which is absolutely fantastic.
Well, he's like a brother to me. I love the man so dearly, and we're such close friends. We did probably 1,500 shows together, you know.
Two more questions, Walter. I'm going to put you on the spot here because people have asked me to ask you these questions. Here's the first one. Apart from the current album, or maybe the new album, what's your favorite Walter Trout album, looking back, solo album?
Oh, boy.
That's a hard one.
I can tell you, my wife says that the brand new album that is not out yet, she says that's her favorite. I like a lot of the songs on Transition, although I don't care for the production on there, but I like a lot of the songs on there. I tend to like some of the songs that are not my more well-known songs. I like a song called Running in Place.
That's a harmony thing, yeah.
That's the harmony thing. I like the album Breaking the Rules.
Yeah, that was a good, really good one.
A song Under My Skin, and it has a song To Begin Again.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, those are probably my favorites.
And that particular album, Breaking the Rules, that was probably the one where you had your best production, I thought, up to that point.
Yeah, I thought it was very good too, and that was just me and an engineer. We did that together. I didn't really have a producer.
Just shows
you. I have to say, as far as all my work though, Battle Scars to me has had the most effect on people.
Yeah.
There's even a young man from Austria who was in the Paris terror attack, and he was a guitarist. His name is Daniel, and he was shot at the Bataclan Theater. And he was in very bad shape, and he didn't want to live. And his father gave him the album Battle Scars.
Wow.
And he wrote me an email, and he said that album gave him hope and gave him strength and convinced him that he wanted to stay alive. And his left arm was damaged, and he couldn't play. And now he tells me he is learning to play the guitar left-handed. So he's turned the guitar over. And he tells me he still listens to that every day. And to me, something like that is so much better than any kind of chart position.
Yeah.
Or to know that your piece of music has helped somebody's in their life and in their struggles, that means the world.
That would have been a great place to finish, Walter, but I got one more general question that, again, people have asked me to ask you. Looking back on your early material, they didn't specify which ones they meant, but your early material, do they seem like distant friends to you now?
They do. And sometimes I put them on and I listen to them, and it brings back memories of a different time in my life. And a lot of times I put them on and say, boy, I could have played a better solo than that now, or I wish I would have sung a different line, or I could have written some better lyrics. And sometimes I put it on and I go, you know, that's actually pretty good. I'm happy with that piece of music, you know.
Walter, it's been great having you on the show. Really, really great. We're going to play out with one of my favorite Walter Trout power shuffles. The song's called The Love Song of J. Alfred Blues Rock. Comes from the Outsider album on Pro Vogue Records. Just got to say that you're touring the UK in May, and you're doing some dates in Europe too, I believe.
Yes, I am. I'm looking forward to getting back to the UK, man.
We're going to give out the tour dates right now, but first we're going to play this track. Thanks for listening, everybody. Enjoy Walter Trout. Thank you, and good night.
Just another side.
And our thanks to Pete and, of course, to Walter Trout. Repeated from Sunday, the feature show goes out for the first time at 20:00 GMT. And this coming Sunday, Pete's chatting to Chantelle McGregor. There's more information about our programmes, including Pete's shows, in the presenter section at our website. You'll find all the playlists for the Tuesday show and links to listen again to both the Sunday show and the Tuesday Rock and Blues show we post to our Mixcloud page not long after broadcast. And once again, the website address is getreadytorockradio.com.